Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the OFR Farm Report podcast. It's been a little while. Our last show was in mid-December. To be fair, not a lot going on in that meantime, but we've now got enough topics that we decided to come back on. With me, as always, is my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm going to make a really timely reference here to to Admiral William Stockdale during the debates way back in the day. Who am I? Why am I here? That's what it kind of feels like after all this time.
You know, that's a good question. Why are we here, Matt?
We're going to talk about some prospect-related activities today. We're going to go over some. We got a lot of things actually to cover since it's been a while since our last episode. But we're going to talk about the current state of the MLB lockout and how it affects the Braves minor league system. We'll go over some players and how it really affects the Gwinnett roster. We'll talk about the coaching staffs for all the minor league levels have been announced. So we'll go through all of that and a few other things. And we'll hit a little bit on our new prospect list that's coming out as well.
Yeah, by the time this podcast drops, the new OFR top prospect list will either be out or will be out shortly. So, make sure you check that out on outfieldflyrule.com. All right, so we are now just about to finish up month three of the MLB lockout. Yeah, we don't want to get too much far into the weeds on this. There's lots of places you can go to for information on the lockout and, you know, what the main issues are with that. Focused mostly on the minor league stuff. Matt, I know I was kind of flabbergasted when a report came out, I think from Jeff Passan several weeks ago, that MLB floated another potential round of minor league contraction in the negotiations. Players Association kind of shut that down quickly, and MLB pulled that back out pretty quickly. But this is something that doesn't necessarily need to be collectively bargained. The Major League Baseball could do this unilaterally. So at least some people within Major League Baseball seems like are thinking about contracting yet more minor league jobs.
I would be surprised to see something like that in the future, but I don't think it's going to happen in the short term. I would think MLB's goal long term is to turn it much like the NFL, where the NFL developmental costs are shunted off onto the NCAA. I mean, players play college football, they're drafted, then immediately come into the NFL. MLB would love to have something like that where they didn't have to pay any of the costs for the minor leaguers, although it's just what they're having to pay to eliminate a level. You're talking about like a rounding error in their budgets. I mean, especially if you're talking about eliminating a low-level team. I'm assuming if something like that came to pass, they would just eliminate like the low-A roster and teams. But I don't see it happening anytime in the near future. And also, when they did the contraction this past season, I believe they had set it in place where they'd signed like 10-year contracts with these individual teams for so that we wouldn't have to be going through this all the time. So I don't know if money would have to be paid out to kind of buy them out of these contracts or what would happen in that case. But I imagine there would be a lot of things to jump through. But it all kind of struck me as MLB is starting out as a bargaining chip when there was no bargaining chip necessary. I mean, they just kind of throw it out that, hey, if you give us this, we won't do this. And they were never intending to do it in the first place.
Yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable. I was thrown by it, I'll be honest. Like you said, I thought it would be at least, you know, 10 seasons, you know, so 9 seasons now before that would even kind of possibly even be a possibility. So for them to put it to the lockout now was kind of odd. I don't know. Hopefully it's nothing. I think it would be disastrous for player development. I think it would be disastrous for the product on the field at the major league level, less development at the professional level, I think is a terrible idea.
Well, fortunately, it went through about like the 24-hour news cycle, and then it kind of just seemed kind of died, and you haven't really heard anything else since then. So hopefully that thing just is fallen by the wayside, and Lord willing, hopefully we don't have to hear anything about it anymore.
All right. So Let's talk about the lockout and what that means for minor league baseball. So minor league baseball is going to continue. I believe the official start of minor league spring training is March 1. I know a lot of spring training sites already have a lot of people reporting. I assume the Braves are the same way. All the major league teams are having closed workouts at this point because, interestingly enough, the Rule 5 draft still is floating out there. Presumably, it'll be like the first thing to happen once the lockout ends because it does involve some player movement, and I think they would have to get that resolved pretty quickly. But teams don't really want other teams to scout the potential Rule 5 draftees ahead of time. So that's why they're having closed workouts at all the major league sites. All of the spring training sites. So let's talk about, but I want to talk about guys that are prospects and don't have either any or very little major league service time. But nevertheless, because they're on 40-man rosters, they're part of the lockout, and they will not be able to participate in either minor league spring training or the minor league season unless the lockout ends.
Yeah, I've got a list here. I've looked at the 40-man roster. I count 13 pitchers who would probably get either at least a little time at Gwinnett up to a whole lot of time at Gwinnett this season. I mean, that's going to decimate their rotation as well as their bullpen as well. But just kind of going through a few of the names here, Tucker Davidson, Kyle Muller, Sean Newcomb, Alan Rangel, Spencer Strider, Freddie Tarnock, Tuki Toussaint, Kyle Wright, and a couple of recent additions who haven't even, I mean, they were placed on the 40-man roster and then almost immediately locked out in Brooks Wilson and William Woods. And so for several of those guys, it's going to really hurt their development. But, I mean, you can see just from listening to some of those names, I mean, the Gwinnett rotation is going to be kind of a wasteland for a while outside of Bryce Elder.
Yeah, I also have Dylan Lee, right, who...
World Series starter, Dylan Lee?
Yeah, somehow was the Game 4 World Series starter. You know, possibly would have had some time in Gwinnett. You know, and of course, I'm not sure if you mentioned Christian Pache and Drew Waters on the position player side.
As far as the outfield, you got Christian Pache, Drew Waters, and Travis DeMeritt. That's your entire starting outfield at Gwinnett. Gone.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. If Pache didn't win a job outright, yeah.
Right, and then you were looking at catchers as well, not just William Contreras. I mean, of course, this is kind of a secondary concern. Chadwick Tromp.
Yeah.
Most people probably forgot he was in the organization, but I mean, he may have very well been a backup catcher at Gwinnett. Now your depth has been reduced considerably at that level. But, I mean, that's a lot of players you're having to try to find to replace at Gwinnett. And it seems now also it was a very costly decision by the Braves that last weekend of the regular season when they brought up Spencer Strider to get a look at him, to see if they wanted to get him on the playoff roster. Not only did they not place him on the playoff roster, he's on the 40-man now, so he can't play. So it's going to cost him some development time this season as well.
Yeah, this is not shaping up to be a particularly helpful thing as far as player development for any of these guys. It's Gwinnett's going to struggle. I mean, let's just face it. It's the Stripers are not going to be looking good. This you're talking about guys that will you know some of these guys probably would have made the major leagues, but a lot of them would have been optioned, like you said, and they're going to be the backbone kind of the Stripers team at least to start with. So not a great position, and I really feel bad, especially for the guys that were just added to the 40-man roster. So Alan Rangel, Brooks Wilson, Freddie Tarnock, and William Woods. So here they are. They have zero, literally zero major league time, and they're being treated as major leaguers for the purpose of this lockout. All of them desperately need to have the eyes of Atlanta Braves coaching staff on them, right? This is their potential breakout year, and they're not getting that.
And these aren't exactly guys that probably have big nest eggs sitting in their bank accounts either. They're just now getting to where they can make some actual money, and now that amount of money has gone to zero, at least in the short term.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the Players Association will be able to take care of them for a little while. I know they have a war chest to pay out people like for situations like this, but But no, it can't be comfortable for those guys. So, you know, this lockout sucks, man.
Yeah. And when you and I were discussing the Gwinnett rotation and squad, we're going down the list of what, if a family's wanting to go out and go see some affordable family entertainment, the Gwinnett Stripers will be a good option for that. If you're going to go out there to catch the hottest and best prospects, Gwinnett's not going to be the place to go, because unless you're going to see a Bryce Elder start or to see Shay Langeliers catch behind the plate, there's really not much to see there. When we're looking at the starting rotation after Bryce Elder, it goes downhill pretty quickly. I mean, we're looking at one actually decent option possibly would be Jacyl De La Cruz, because he was a let go by the Braves or non-tendered by the Braves during the offseason, then re-signed to a minor league contract. He'll be eligible to pitch, so he could very well be in the rotation if that's what their plans are for him. But after that, the options you're looking at possibly the likes of Nolan Kingham, Jason Creasy, who was recently re-signed, who was a Striper a couple years ago, Connor Johnstone. So, I mean, you're looking at, there's going to be a lot of bullpen games and gunslinger types filling out the back end of the rotation until the lockout is concluded.
Yeah. Another guy that's not going to be available for Gwinnett, unfortunately, Deisbel Hernandez, a reliever that we've talked about quite a bit in previous shows, unfortunately tore his UCL in pitching in the Mexican League. So he is out, and he is out for the season. This is really interesting. I thought he would be a possible Rule 5 casualty. They elected not to protect him, and I thought there was a pretty good chance that another team might nab him. Now with this the Tommy John surgery, I think it might even be more likely now that they can do kind of what the Braves did with Dan Winkler back during the rebuild days, where they went ahead and drafted him in the Rule 5 draft and then just stashed him on the injured list to take care of that year of major league eligibility.
Yeah, because he had the surgery earlier this month. I think he's about 3 weeks past his surgery now. And, I mean, that part's been taken care of. So if a team wants to take him, they don't have to pay for that. They have to, obviously, they'll have to be able to pay and oversee his rehab. But like you said, I mean, if they believe in his stuff, it's going to be definitely worth a look and at a pretty minimal cost.
Yeah, and looking over, they've obviously tried to backfill with a bunch of free agent signings at the minor league level. A lot of these guys are kind of older guys that have pitched recently. Another guy that's a possibility for the rotation is a 27-year-old Jackson Stevens, who used to be a Reds farmhand. He actually got some major league time. Last year he spent in the Mexican League. I could see him possibly filling in as a starter. Jason Creasy, as you mentioned before. And then we got some bullpen guys. Michael Tonkin is 31 years old. He actually had some major league time with the Twins. Just recently signed Brandon Sittinger, 27, right-handed pitcher. He got a cup of coffee with the Arizona Diamondbacks last year. So these are guys that might fill out that back end of the bullpen. You know, so it's like if you're going for prospects, the Gwinnett Stripers may not be where you want to go. If you're in Georgia and you want to go look for prospects, you might want to consider Rome as an alternative there.
Yeah, because the further down you go in the minors, the less it's going to affect. I mean, you could see some effects at Mississippi, but that would be primarily from players getting called up to Gwinnett, maybe possibly before they're ready, but to help in fill in spots on the roster, and that might affect some of the lower and clubs as well, but not to that degree.
The Braves did re-sign Ryan Goines, who was on the roster for Gwinnett last year. He's of course, he was an 8-year major league veteran with Toronto, Kansas City, White Sox. Spent all last year with Gwinnett. He's coming back. He is possibly the only infielder to come back. Obviously, Johan Camargo. He signed with the Philadelphia Phillies before the lockout started. So he was the primary first baseman for Gwinnett last year. He'll be gone. Sean Casmar, the longtime Gwinnett Striper, the all-time Striper hit leader, did retire, and it was announced this week that he's going to take a position as the hitting coach for the Los Angeles Angels Arizona Complex League team.
And that's that connection where Perry Manasian, who was the with the Braves for so long in the front office, poached him as soon as he became available. I imagine there was probably a spot in the Braves organization if Sean Casmar wanted it, but apparently he found a better opportunity with the Angels.
Yeah, and I believe he's from Arizona. I think his family lives there in the off season, so it's I'm guessing it was just to be closer to home. I have to think that the Braves certainly would have offered him a position if he wanted him. He's so well regarded. Jordan Cowan's another infielder. He was with the Mariners organization. Had a little bit of prospect buzz at one time. He's 26, still relatively young. And then Ryan Castile, who spent all year last year with Gwinnett. He's coming back. He was never really a starter, but he filled in at first base and a little bit at catcher. So presumably he'll be doing that again. They did pick up another infielder, third baseman, Yarel Gonzalez, who had been in the Cardinals and Tigers organization. I wouldn't be surprised if he is penciled in at third base already.
Yeah, because there's not a... there are a couple of possibilities of... CJ Alexander and Braden Schoonmake being brought up from Mississippi, but neither one really pushed to make that jump as far as like their numbers or their progress last season. It wouldn't hurt them to get more time in at Mississippi, and there's really nobody coming up behind them to push them in that regard. So I wouldn't be surprised if they left those guys in place and just kind of use these placeholder minor league types to fill in the infield positions at Gwinnett.
I would say that probably last year's performance isn't quite as important as how they look this spring. So if Braden Schoonmake, just for example, came out this spring and looked great, shows obvious progress from, what he was having trouble with last year, and he looks like he's ready for AAA, they'll go ahead and push him to AAA regardless of what his numbers are. But if they still think that he needs more time, they have guys now that can play in the infield. You can go Gonzalez at third. You can put Goins at short or Cohen at short. Basically just flip-flop however you want. At first base, they could bring up Drew Lugbauer, or they could use their minor league Rule 5 guy. What's his name?
Nagowski.
Yeah. So, they got some options there. So they'll have people there to play the positions, but it's going to be newcomers to the organization for the most part, I think, and it's going to be young minor league veterans.
Yeah, and now there's one guy in the bullpen that's going to be there. That's going to be people are going to be surprised to hear. Hey, this guy is able to pitch. That's kind of a surprise. And that's Darren O'Day, because he was signed to a minor league contract, which he very likely would have converted to a major league contract during spring training. I think it's primarily just so they wouldn't have to put him on the 40-man roster immediately. But he'll be able to pitch if they need him to at Gwinnett this season.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're jonesing for some Darren O'Day, there you go. Back in January, the Braves got to do something that they have not been able to do since 2016, and that is sign international amateur free agents without any restrictions from the major league sanctions from the copy scandal.
And that's the first time in a very long time. Now, they did get half of their pullback last season, so they got a little bit of play last year, and with Ambioris Tavares was signed during the previous signing period when they had the half pull. They basically used everything they had on him, so they didn't even get a deep class. They were just basically him and a handful of other guys. But this time, this is their first real signing class. The sanctions are over with, so hopefully once we get back to some sense of normalcy after now, of course, even with this signing period, it was delayed several months. It was supposed to be last July and was pushed back until January. Now, next signing period, hopefully get back on a regular schedule, but this will definitely be something that Braves farm system needed to kind of beef up their numbers and their depth.
Yeah, the big guy they signed, Diego Benitez, shortstop out of Venezuela. Really exciting guy. There's a, you know, he's just, obviously we've only seen video of him, but he looks, you know, even though he's only, he just turned 17, he's a strong kid, 6'1", bat speed for miles. It looks like he's probably going to hit for power eventually. It looks like he's, you know, fundamentally good at shortstop, but, you know, we'll see what he looks like in game situations. But very exciting to get a player of that caliber. I believe Baseball America ranked him, seventh in this draft class. So it's been a long time since we've had a international prospect of this caliber sign on the signing day.
Yeah, and they got some other players as well. Douglas Glaude, signing bonus $1.3 million, outfielder. They also got him from Venezuela. They got a couple other players that they spent some real money on. And they also got it's a fairly deep class that they got here. You got Alexander Martinez, a catcher out of Venezuela. He got $400,000. So, I mean, it's definitely the deepest class, if nothing else, that they've gotten in a number of years. And primarily, this will be a good start for them to get that Dominican Summer League team of theirs set back up again this season after having been dormant for a couple of years.
Yes, although, as I was saying before, they still haven't announced a coaching staff for the DSL team. Now they start a little bit later, so maybe they're still working on that one. But they did announce all the rest of the coaching staffs, however, with Gwinnett and Rome staying pretty much the same. Matt Tuiasosopo coming back as manager of the Stripers. Mike Moroth staying as pitching coach. Carlos Mendez staying as hitting coach. It looked like pretty much everybody stayed. Devon Travis was promoted from AA Mississippi to be one of the bench coaches in Gwinnett. But otherwise, that's pretty much the same. And then in Rome, Kenekoa Teixeira is coming back as manager again. Sent Stabian and Bobby Moore both back with Rome as well. They did get, I think, a new pitching coach, Wes McGuire. So, but otherwise, pretty stable there. And then there's Mississippi.
They just blew everything up at Mississippi. But the primary reason for that is Dan Meyer, who was who did a spectacular job as their pitching coach interim manager during the season, and winning the AA South Championship, still having to try to keep from calling it the Southern League, but the AA South Championship. He left to go take a position with the Pittsburgh Pirates as their AAA pitching coach, I believe in early January. So they had the reason they had to do so many changes was they're having to maybe scramble. I don't know if it was planned that he was going to be leaving or if he just got this opportunity with a fairly short notice. But what Mississippi did is they got Bruce Crabb. He will be their manager this season. He spent the previous 17 years with the Boston Red Sox in a number of positions, mostly in as a coach. In fact, this will be his first time he's managed a team since 2013, but he's 60 years old. He's been with, although he'd been with the Red Sox for a while, when he was drafted originally, he was drafted by the Braves and played for them for several years. In fact, he actually played under Brian Snitker at one point. There's a history there, but it sounds like he's really excited. I saw part of that Zoom interview he did, and he sounds really excited about the opportunity to come to Mississippi and work with some really solid prospects. But and they redid the whole coaching staff as well. They brought up Bo Henning, who had been with Rome previous season, and Mike Bard, who will be the hitting coach. He was with Augusta, and bench coach Angel Flores was with Rome last season as well. So they revamped that entire coaching staff at Mississippi. And after last season, it's probably not the worst thing to have a fresh start, even though they had a lot of success on the field. There were a lot of issues there last season, but hopefully this will kind of clean the slate, give everything a fresh start, and have a solid season going forward.
Yeah, I hate that Dan Meyer has left the organization, but I imagine pitching coach is where he feels like his future is going to be. With Mike Moroth doing such a great job at Gwinnett, I can see the Braves maybe not opening that spot up for him. And so he took the opportunity to go somewhere else. So he goes to the Pirates. He'll get reunited with Bryce Wilson once the lockout ends. maybe. And Ricky DeVito over there, who he has some familiarity with from that awesome Richard Rodriguez trade from last year.
Yeah. And also, that Dan Byer, I get why he took the opportunity, because he moved up to AAA. And number two, he's with the Pirates. Pirates aren't going to be a great baseball team this season, and their pitching coach in Pittsburgh has been in place for several years already. And who's to say the Pirates may not decide to make a move midseason and say, hey, hit the bricks and we'll see. Let's bring up our AAA pitching coach to take his place. I mean, he got a lot closer to working in the major leagues with that one move than he was ever going to get probably in Atlanta between Rick Kranitz. I mean, we don't know how long he'll be with the squad, and you would think Mike Maroth is the pitching coach in waiting. So Dan Byer was probably never going to get that opportunity in Atlanta, but it seems like he's gotten himself a lot closer to MLB with that one move.
Yep. So congratulations to Dan Byer. Like I said, hate that he's out of the organization. His fingerprints are on a lot of pitchers in this organization. A lot of them owe a lot to Dan Byer. Number one, he was the pitching coach for that 2016 Rome team with Mike Soroka, Max Fried, Patrick Weigel, and Colby Allard and Tuki Toussaint, right? So all of those pitchers have long sung his praises. And then the next year he had Ian Anderson and Bryce Wilson and Joey Wentz, and they were a power trio, right? And then last year he just outdid himself, being thrust into that manager's role. He was just supposed to be the pitching coach, and he ended up running the whole show there after the manager was let go. So, and then he took him all the way to the championship. So if you're going to go out, you go out on a high note. And he certainly did that with the Atlanta organization.
He certainly did. And obviously, we haven't discussed Augusta yet, but they have a fairly new setup there as well. Their manager, Nestor Perez, he'd been with the FCL team since 2016. Pitching coach Mike Steed, he's new with the organization, that he'd spent a decade in Canada and recently worked with a summer college league in the Northwoods League. So he'll be the new pitching coach. And the hitting coach, Connor Naren, spent the previous season in the FCL, but it is his fourth year in the Braves organization as well. And bench coach will be Miles Schroeder, who this will be his second year in the organization, but he'll be the bench coach. So they kind of redid the coaching staff at Augusta, but mainly because a lot of their folks have been promoted out of there. So they really needed some bodies to take those spots. And then finally, we had the Florida Complex League team, which won't start until later on, but they've got obviously a complete overhaul down there. Cody Gabella, I believe, is the name of the manager who will be there, but he's been with the Cardinals organization since 2015 as a coach. He was originally drafted by the Braves back in 2010. And this is how long ago. He was drafted in the 50th round in 2010. But he decided to go back to school, and it paid off, because he was drafted by the Padres the next season all the way up into 43rd round. So good move going back to school. Now, he kicked around for a couple years, but he seemed to have found his niche in coaching. This is his first managerial job, but he'll do it in the FCL. And based on what the Braves do, this could be a very loaded FCL team, depending on whether they decide to get a DSL team going this year. Because if they don't, they're going to throw everybody in the FCL, and that's going to be a pretty stout team there. Pitching coach Elvin Nina, he was coach with Augusta last season. This will be his third year with the organization. Hitting coach Einar Diaz, this will be his third year in the organization, but obviously his first year in the FCL. He'd spent the previous season at Mississippi, and before that, he had been with Gwinnett. So he's very familiar with the Braves organization. One of their coaches, Jefferson Romero, he was the DSL manager in 2018 and 2019. And obviously the Braves didn't field a DSL team in 2020 or 2021. So I'm assuming Romero has been just kind of kicking around and being a roving instructor of some sort for the last couple of seasons, but he's still with the team. So he'll be a coach with the FCL team. And I wouldn't be surprised if during the season, that maybe if they decide to get a DSL team going, that they may send him back down to take care of those folks down there. And then one of the other coaches, Garrett Wilkinson, he was hired to work for the Fire Frogs back in 2020 as a video and scouting department. But obviously, once the 2020 season got scrubbed, he wasn't able to do that anymore. But they'll be brought back to work with the FCL. And that seems to be a specialty, is video and scouting. And he also works with an organization called Scout USA Sports Performance Institute, as in the same type of capacity as video and scouting. So that could very well be what he'll be doing with the FCL as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. As the Braves organization has fully embraced, all the all the computer and video metrics and bio, you know, biomechanics and all that stuff. Not surprising they want somebody with a specialist like that down at the FCL level. Nestor Perez, going back to Augusta real quick, like you said, a veteran of the organization, just a really strong coach as far as like working with young people, you know. So I think that's a great pick there to come into Augusta. And then kind of at the organizational level, some of the coordinators, we have a brand new director of player development. His name is Kevin Hooper. And last year's pitching coordinator, Paul Davis, got at least a title boost. It looked like it may be the main job, but it's now a director level position. He was the pitching coordinator. Now he's director of pitching development. So hopefully there's a raise in there for him too. Another guy that last year's manager for Augusta was Michael Saunders, who was, if you're listening, you may be familiar with him for being an outfielder for Toronto and a few other teams. He is now going to be the outfield coordinator for the organization and base runner coordinator.
So if you see, if you're out at a minor league team, going to see one of their games, I mean, you could very well see Saunders out there working with the outfielders or helping some of the other folks out with their base running. But yeah, it's overall, this is a pretty strong outfit. It's kind of a nice mix of returning coaches and managers and a nice little mix of a fair number of new folks. But it's a pretty good solid set overall, especially at the higher levels of the organization, particularly in Gwinnett.
Yeah, I think it's a strong group. So pretty pleased with that, those developments there. They will all be, I'm sure they're all in Florida now already getting ready for spring training. Wish it were open. I was actually thinking about going down and trying to catch some minor league spring training action since, there's no other baseball going on at the professional level, but like I said, it's going to be all closed because teams don't want other teams scouting their stuff.
So. Yeah, and we talked about the Rule 5 draft. I mean, once the lockout ends, it will be the nightmare of all nightmares trying to get everybody going where they need to be and trying to get everything. I mean, just think about everything that has to be done and having to have a Rule 5 draft, having to deal with arbitration and getting contracts done before the beginning of the season. You still got free agents out there, trades that need to be completed. There's players that probably aren't even in the country right now that need visas done, and the teams haven't been able to work with the players to get their visas done. Even under our normal circumstances, getting visas done for returning ball players is sometimes a headache. You hear about players reporting late because they had visa delays. Imagine how bad that's going to be this season. I mean, it's just going to be an absolute nightmare. Even when they put a reporting date, it's like, okay, lockout's over, everybody get here in a week. I mean, you're going to have people straggling into camp for weeks on end. It's just going to be ridiculous.
All right. Well, Matt, you got anything else to talk about?
No, I think that's a pretty strong start to our beginning of our 22 minor league season, but we'll have some other things coming up and some coming up very quickly.
Yeah. So make sure you check out the brand new top prospects list on outfieldflyroll.com. We'll talk about that kind of more extensively in our next show. The only thing I have to say elsewhere is congratulations to Dylan Short and Doc Herbert for a great run on the Platinum Sombrero podcast, which came to an end last week. So they are always one of the top-notch prospects. They didn't just do prospects, but they talked about prospects a lot. They were always a good listen. And of course, they were kind enough to have both of us on it as a guest at different points. So that was always appreciated, and just good guys. I know Dylan has a new podcast that's starting out in conjunction with the Atlanta sports station 680, The Fan. So congratulations on that new gig, Dylan, and best of luck to you guys.
Good luck. And it's been nice working with them off and on. And obviously Dylan does the introduction to our podcast. We've had Doc on as well over the years. I mean, it's two guys that have always provided great content for Braves Nation, and hopefully we can fill in some of the void that they have been dealing with in the past.
Absolutely. All right. Well, hope everybody has a good week, and we'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
être rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, c'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Non, rien de rien. Je ne regrette rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie